Well, we're so pleased to have you here, safe and sound, and you're going to be playing some songs for us. First, I wanted to ask you. You're currently touring with Thousand Springs, which came out kind of toward the middle of last year.
Yeah.
Okay. July. How far into this tour are you? Because you're about to do another album soon, or you just did, rather.
Well, I don't think the tour really ever ends. I'm kind of playing shows all the time.
It's the journey, not the destination.
You said it. And I just recorded a live record in Nashville earlier this month, or in January. Mm-hmm. And so that will come out later this year. I don't know. I just kind of try to work on it.
It's a process.
A number of things.
You're not delineating anything. I think that's fair enough. Now, you grew up in Idaho.
I did.
Does anyone actually grow up in Idaho? I mean, there are people there, right?
There was like 9 people when I left the state, so there's 8 now. No, it's a great place to grow up.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, Amarillo, this part of Texas, reminds me of a little bit of where I grew up. It's mm-hmm. kind of high plains desert up there. I grew up in the potato part of the state, the southern part of the state, right on the edge of the Snake River Canyon in a little town called Twin Falls, which is where Evel Knievel tried to jump the canyon. Remember in the 70s? We still
Brilliant.
Talk about that at lunch almost every day. So yeah, it was great place to grow up. I went to college in Seattle, lived there for 10 years and made music and records and had a band, and then finally moved to Nashville about 11 years ago. Just bought a house. I'm starting to get grown up a little bit.
I'm sorry.
You know, baby steps, but yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Let's not rush into it.
I mean, you're still a folk musician, so you're going to continuously have that trail of youth with you. Now, I like that you mentioned your music. You feel like it kind of comes from that growing up in Idaho, feeling isolated, and I think that's something folks across the High Plains can relate to. I mean, we're pretty far from a lot of things a lot of times.
Yeah.
And there's something really spooky and beautiful about it.
I think you get a lot of time, you know, to think about yourself and your life and how you fit into the world, which is, well, for me musically, you know, it wasn't in the water exactly like it is for some of my like Carolina friends. And so you really had to go and seek it out. And that was definitely a big part of my musical journey. I mean, I didn't even see a major concert until I was 19 years old, you know.
What was your first concert?
Fish.
Excellent.
Yeah. At the ROTC Center in Salem,
Good
Oregon.
Good work.
Blew me away.
As it tends to do, people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for this record, you know, I've lived in Nashville for more than a decade now, and I do like it there a lot. I have so many creative friends, and it's competitive, and it really makes you push yourself. It is a, you know, it never quits. I mean, I still go to shows 4 or 5 nights a week. Whenever I'm in town, you kind of always feel like you should, you know, be supporting a friend or seeing that act that you've been hearing about, or and that can be sort of distracting in terms of like hearing your still small voice. So I do like these road trips coming out west and having time, you know, it's just me in the car, and you can only listen to so much NPR. You have to give yourself a little bit of a break. A small break.
That's not true. Not true at all. Well, I have to say, I love the quote you had on your website. This is, happy people don't write. When you're happy, you eat ice cream. Here you are. You're an avid blogger. You keep a diary, which I think is just a lost art. People, you know. Man. So
it's
you be a diarrheist. You're a diarrhea.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And, you know, also a novelist, which it sounds like your novel that you, or not novel, collection of short stories, fiction, collection of fiction. You said that is the thing that really was the catalyst for Thousand Springs and moving to Nashville, having that mental space to concentrate. And that's really what kind of like brewed this last album.
Yeah. I mean, thank you so much for reading a little backstory there. That's impressive.
I went to the journalism school.
They taught you right. The book came out in December of 2015. And it was kind of a surprise. And I'll probably tell a little bit more about that tonight at the show.
Mm-hmm.
But after that experience, I kind of realized that what really drives me creatively and has since I was a little kid was storytelling, be it in music or in prose. And like this collection of short stories, I didn't really set out to write a book. I just, over 8 years, on days when I wasn't touring, weekends, whatever, or if I was like like in the middle of a thing. Sometimes I'd be writing in the back of the van if I was on tour with other bands, just to write a story, just almost for the exercise of it, I guess. And then sometimes I like post them on my Facebook page, or sometimes not, whatever. But that times, you know, 8 years, I realized I had 60 stories at some point. And I thought a few of them actually were, you know, maybe okay. And so I self-published this collection of stories, and it got picked up by a major publisher. And they sent me out on a big book tour, and, you know, I have a huge inflated ego about it now.
That's excellent. I think you get to have an inflated ego. Did they tell you you had to bring your guitar?
I just take my guitar with me. Where I miss no opportunity to play music for people.
Well, speaking of which, how about we hear a song? Okay. What a great segue.
Yeah, very nice. You're a true professional.
We're segging.
Segging. Okay, this is a song off the record called Late Bloomers. Another sleepless night, reading the ceiling. You got a bad feeling, you're doing everything wrong. This is a lonely fight on glass and gravel. Who knew the road less traveled would be so long? But here's to the late bloomers, holding on till our time arrives. Some people might have gotten there sooner, but for us it's gonna be right on time. And you used to know just where you were going. You could see it glowing like the morning sky, but you got nothing to show. Somehow your vision got lost in transition. You don't know why, but here's to the late bloomers, holding on till our time arrives. Some people might have gotten there sooner, but for us it's gonna be right on time.
Linker live on High Plains Morning, and that was off A Thousand Springs, and that you can tell when your songs, I feel like it's very clear that you are most likely also a fiction writer. And I listen to a lot of folk music, but I don't know what it is. There's something about the way you put the words together. It's kind of like it's kind of like when some people like that are just waitresses at Waffle Houses ask you what you want, and you can tell they can sing. You know what I'm talking about, where you can just go, oh, this person can totally sing. Yeah. It's like when you hear Sam Cooke just talking to the audience, you're like, oh, I know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
But I can just tell with your music that, yeah, this is a guy who kind of thinks literarily. But I also married an English professor.
I was going to say, this is very writerly of you, these observations.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm not alone in that. I'm not alone in that. So I noticed that you mentioned that you think the most important qualities of really quality art are originality and meaning. And I'm just curious, who are some artists for you that totally nail it with their commitment to that?
Yeah. I mean, Gillian Welch is great. Towns, you know, like mm-hmm. all of the Texas greats, Guy Clark, Townes Van Zandt. I also really love Randy Newman. I also really love the Magnetic Fields. I mean, incredible originality and lots of meaning and lots of misunderstanding. And this tour for the last, really for the last few weeks, I've been kind of on a steady sun kill moon diet. Such a different, Mark Kozlek, different approach to songwriting than really anything I grew up with, which was, you know, I come out of like a well-crafted sort of ethos. And his way of writing is very kind of not quite stream of consciousness, but there's not a lot of like form dictating the content. And it has this very personal feeling, and that personal feeling makes it feel true. And that's another, I didn't say that in the whatever interview thing that you read, but it, something's got to feel true mm-hmm. to be attractive to me.
Honesty.
Yeah. And I don't know what that, I mean, that's in singing too. I've never been really attracted to like technically amazing singers or whatever. It's nice. It's pretty. But it's so much more interesting to hear somebody communicate something in a way that feels very authentic. That's more important to me.
Yeah. And that's probably because you grew up in a desert of people, so you were really excited when someone had something original and honest to say. Besides
true.
A Waffle House waitress. Sunkill Moon, Mark Kozlek, he was in Red House Painters, and I remember hearing that quite a bit. They do an incredible AC/DC cover of If You Want Blood. I don't know if you've heard that.
No, I haven't.
It's one of my favorites. It was suggested if I ever got an actual wedding, that would be a really good one to walk down the aisle to. It's just so good. Thousand Springs, your album the most recent album you had. It's your seventh studio album, and you actually produced it.
I did.
That's pretty impressive.
Is it?
Isn't it? I mean, for number seven.
Okay.
I mean,
I'll go with that. I mean, I don't even. I'm like a super DIY person. I have been since forever ago. So I take all of that stuff for granted. I do a lot of video work, and the writing is kind of part of the DIY thing.
But in Nashville, doesn't that get farmed out quite a bit? Where it's
you're going to do this,
and you don't have a choice. Who's doing your record.
It does. And I rebel against that. I think there's something very contrary in my personality, like right or wrong. And is that coming from Idaho? I don't know what that is, but I don't like to do what other people are doing, even if it's the best way to do it, quote unquote. I think that a lot of Nashville records sound very similar. Even the non-country ones, even like the folkier records, because there's the same five producers producing those records, and that the pool of players they draw from, fantastic players, the best players in the world. It's 20 people. And I just wanted to do something that didn't, you know, have those exact ingredients. And so for this last record, I did a Kickstarter thing and got a little bit of recording gear and a battery, like they make for climbing expeditions, like this high-end battery thing. And I drove out to Idaho and recorded the guitar and vocal for all the songs in these different places that were important to me as a kid. Most of them were outside. And then after I did that with the basic tracks, I spent most of last year, or the year it was recorded, on tour. And while I was in wherever I was, I would team up with another musician and put like a violin here. And so it took a really long time. It was like akin to putting a ship together in a bottle, kind of making this record, but it was really rewarding. I'm also like hyper introverted and super uncomfortable in crowds of more than two, so we're good here.
So you definitely picked the correct career.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna play music in front of people.
Yeah, but there's something about that that's different. I don't know. Anyway, but I love having the one-on-one hang with that, making the record that way.
It's like a collage. It's like a sonic collage.
It really was. And it was also a very collaborative experience with each person. I mean, I love the record and I'm proud of it and excited. It was a reward even to just make it. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. I did want to ask you about the unfortunate peer review. I think these are those are really funny. A component on your blog. It's basically, folks, you need to go to Corby's website. There are prominent artists and American legends, people like Mary Gaucher and Rodney Crowell, offering really tepid, tentative reviews of your personality and your music. And the result is this just comedic blow-off. And it's actually really satisfying because it's this forced display of this appropriated shade. They're just you can tell they're just like trying to just like not crack up.
Yeah,
but it's quite original. I enjoyed that a lot.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks a lot. That was what I did this December.
That's great. You got to keep it interesting. Well, totally. We want to remind folks, hppr.org is how you're going to RSVP for the concert tonight in Amarillo, Chalice Abbey. Doors at 7, show at 7:30. It's BYO. We got coffee and cookies. Come out tomorrow night if you're in the Garden City area, and you should drive for this. This is going to be an incredible concert. HPPR Studios show starts at 7. So, Corby, I want to hear another song.
Okay.
And then you're going to just take us out.
Okay. Since we're kind of been on a book kick here, I wrote this song after reading a book called Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. And there's a longer intro to this that I'll tell tonight, but we'll just play this song for now.
Mother, let me tell you something. White people gonna know my name. The big general think he up and coming. That man got nothing. I had a vision in the middle of the night. Did the great spirit come down on me? It's a custer in for a big surprise. A bullet between his eyes. I am the last man standing. Even if you break my heart, even if you take my land, yeah, I am the last man standing. So you want what's mine? Well, I ain't gonna give it to you. This reservation is a choke chain collar. This reservation is closing in. But I ain't gonna let no great white father tell me I am the leader of the one Sioux nation. Born free on the prairie wind. I signed the treaty of 68 and it all come to nothing. They took it all. I am the last man standing. Even if you break my heart, even if you take my land, yeah, I am the last man standing. You better take my life. Whoa, 'cause I ain't gonna give it to you. Last man standing. Even though you took my life, even though you took my land, yeah, I ain't last man standing. Now I will live forever, 'cause I will be remembered. Oh yes, I will be remembered.
All right, if that doesn't convince you, I don't know what does. This was Corby Linker live on High Plains Morning. Thank you so much. Again, folks, go to hppr.org to RSVP for tonight in Amarillo, Chalice Abbey at 2717 Stanley. Doors at 7, show at 7:30. And tomorrow night, Garden City at HPPR Studios on 7th. Corby, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jen.
I'm so pleased. And it's Friday. And
so
there are Girl Scout cookies out there. All right, folks, stay tuned. We've got Exploring Music with Bill McLaughlin up next at noon Central. And then after that, Sinfonia at 1, All Things Considered at 4 p.m. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back Monday. I had too much coffee. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye.